I want to be the very best. Like, no one ever was. To talk into a microphone is my real test. To entertain is my cause.
Mine too.
Funny that. Sounds like we're doing a podcast-a-mon. Stop my attack. Gotta listen to them all, gotta listen to them all, yeah.
Yeah, all 131 of them.
Yeah. We're almost great. There.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. We should have saved that for 151, shouldn't we? Oh, well.
We should have, never mind, it's okay.
There are at present, I think this is this 31 or is it 30?
This is 131.
Yeah, I thought it was.
What Pokemon are we, Tom? Use your mathematical logic and relative knowledge of a Pokedex.
You mean the internet?
Yes.
Because I can't tell you what that is. And we're having a race now to find out.
Lapras.
Oh.
This is the Lapras of podcasts.
Lapras. I like Lapras. I have one of them in my original Pokemon team.
It was the best of Lapras. It was the worst of Lapras.
Use that for surf. Because that's when you get to surf on, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I also had surf on my Lapras.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, memories. Other than your surf, how have you been?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah.
Good.
We did a podcast last week. That was all about E3, wasn't
it?
It
was all about E3. And it was exhausting.
Sort of died down now, the E3.
The hype train. It's pulled into the station. And
so we can concentrate on doing a regular podcast this week. So I've been playing a fair few games and buying a fair few games as well.
Surely not.
I'll have you know. There's been a great sale on the Nintendo eShop.
Yes, half price games. Buy them games again, Tom. Buy them again.
Buy them
again.
Well, one thing I haven't done is rebuy those games I already bought on the Wii Virtual Console.
Well, that's good.
You know, it allows you to get a discount, doesn't it?
Yes.
I say that. I bought one of them again, I think. And that was Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me. It's fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll allow you this one. Just this one.
But, celebration of 5 years of the eShop.
Yeah. Good job.
Will there be an eShop on the next Nintendo console? Yes, there probably will.
I hear there's going to be cartridges on the next Nintendo console.
No, you haven't, have you?
I have.
Really?
I've heard through the internet. It seems to be the way it's going. There's going to be physical media, Tom. GameStop have confirmed there's going to be physical media, but whether that's discs or cartridges, with this whole hybrid
Well, of course
nonsense,
there's going to be physical media.
I've seen a lot of people say it's going to be on cartridges, or at least I saw some thumbnail on my YouTube subscription earlier. I think it was Pat the NES Punk's podcast was talking about it.
But
I don't know.
What the benefit? No load times, yes.
No load times. Also, you know, it's kind of harder to pirate a cartridge. You can. I mean, you can do flash cartridges.
Has there been many people pirating the Wii U?
I don't actually know. I haven't really thought about that, to be honest with you. Probably not. Mm. But, oh well, it's the world we live in. These are the things we're given. Let's use them and let's stop trying to pirate Wii U software.
What's been the highlight of your gaming week, Matthew?
Other than that wonderful Genesis parody. I've actually not really played a lot this week, which is fortunate because I played a shit ton the week before.
Yeah.
And so much so, I actually wanted to do another podcast.
We did dabble with
week's.
The idea, but we found the E3 one incredibly exhausting.
Yeah, well, you know, trying to get the format right.
There was
and
a
then
lot
trying
to get
think
through.
Of things and give opinions on everything.
I didn't help with that, did I? Getting the format right.
It's all right, don't worry. It's okay, it's water under the
bridge. We hope you enjoyed our E3 podcast.
The ramblings of two lunatics in a shack in Denmark talking about E3, yeah. But now is the time to talk about games we've been playing. One of those games I've been playing, Tom, I briefly touched upon it on last week's podcast, I think, was a Trials of the Blood Dragon, which seems to have been dragged through the coals by absolutely everyone who seems to have played it. I really don't think it's that bad.
Neither did I, from what I played of it. I think it injected some variety into the formula.
I mean, surely I'm not the biggest fan of Trials. I liked Trials Fusion, as I said last week on the podcast, but I don't think the platforming's half as bad as everyone seems to be giving it a kicking for. Like, yeah, the style of the game isn't as good as Blood Dragon or as good as it perhaps could have been, but I mean, It's not a terrible game. Like, I've played a lot worse.
I think maybe someone just got a little bit too picky.
I think so, maybe.
Everyone's a critic, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fair to expect more from your games. But when it's just trying to be dumb fun, I'm kind of okay with something just being dumb
fun. It's not bad, you know, that's the thing about it. It's good. Yeah.
I mean,
it might not be to the level of other, but it's not purely a platform game, is it?
The platforming is not the tightest, I will give it that. And it does get frustrating towards the end. But, I mean, there's some really nice ideas in there. A lot of them are given away in that E3 trailer. Like, the minecart levels are actually really fucking good. Kind of reminiscent of Donkey Kong, but with physics, which is pretty awesome.
Okay.
But all in all, I think it's okay. I think people are giving it a bit of an unfair kick in, and so I thought I would voice my opinion on it again at the start of this podcast, that it's not actually that bad. It's probably a 7 out of 10. Maybe that's a bit generous, maybe a 6.5 out of 10, but I mean, it's not a terrible game by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
I've played
a
lot worse.
It's a fantastic presentation of the game, great soundtrack.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you want, then that's why you play video games.
Exactly. Especially as I was playing it at the same time as the Talos Principle.
Hey, it's a budget title.
It is, exactly.
Sorry.
I mean, it's a tenner.
You were making a segue into the Talos Principle.
And
okay, go on.
You threw a log in front of my segue, so I tripped over it.
That's
and the
my
handle
job,
went
it's
spluttering.
To keep you on edge, Matthew.
It's working, Thomas, thank you. Keeping me on the edge of rage. No, I kid. Yeah, I played the Talos Principle. Have you actually had a chance to give it a go?
I'm afraid I haven't. When I've been playing games lately, they've been kind of mindless affairs. I haven't felt in the need to stretch my cerebral muscles.
Fair enough. I think I'm kind of done with the wander around in first person and solve puzzles and have an interesting dialogue
about
narrative. Well,
you played The Witness, yeah?
I played The Witness, which is quite similar to the Talos Principle in nature. I will say the nature of The Witness's puzzles completely outshine that of the Talos Principle. Mm.
But what does the Talos Principle do differently?
The Talos Principle, to be honest with you, in terms of gameplay, just kind of scrapes together the basic formula of first-person puzzles that we've had over the last couple of years and doesn't do it in such a clever way as something like Portal. It doesn't introduce some new mechanic that really messes with the structure of things. I think the Talos Principle, to be honest with you, and especially after looking into how the game was made, it's made by the people who made Serious Sam.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Gosh, totally the other way, isn't it?
It is.
Compared to that game.
And I'm just going to quickly check my facts before I start saying this. Yes. But essentially, the people who made Serious Sam, whose names will become apparent after a quick Google, had made this game. They'd wanted to make a puzzle game after playing a few games like Portal and stuff and being inspired by those. And so they spent all of the time developing the Talos Principle. And then they had a game, but there was nothing there. It was literally Crow Team is the name of the people, and it was put up by Devolver Digital. They had a game. Crow Team did, they'd made, and they were like, well, what is the purpose of this? Why are you a cool robot running around in this world solving puzzles? There's no hook to it, there's no narrative structure. And so they got in two very talented writers, who I shall tell you the name of now, Tom Jubert and Jonas Keiratzes, I hope I'm saying that right, who made some pretty big indie games, but Tom Jubert is someone of note, but I can't remember what he's worked on. Sorry, guys, my prep for this is
awful. I was just about
to say
you're very quick at looking up stuff on your phone.
I am, but I mean, in terms of everything else, essentially, they had no plot for this game, and they got these two very talented writers in, and they made that game worth playing.
Aha.
I think the writing and the narrative structure over the top of it, you interact with terminals much like you would in Marathon or in the later Halo games. And there's a lot of plot going on where you're talking to this AI essentially about the nature of humanity and free will. And there's a godlike figure who essentially says, like, hey, welcome to my garden. If you pass all these puzzles, then you can come on to heaven and be enlightened.
Are you a robot?
You are a robot, yeah.
So a robot.
But are you a robot? Oh. That's the question. Are you a robot? Because you can think and feel. Have you got a consciousness? It's kind of touching upon that old argument of like robotics and
that thing.
What makes us human, etc., etc.
Is in that new game from Quantic Dream.
Yes.
which you poo-pooed last week.
But yes. But bear with me, right? Like, it doesn't do it in such a over-the-head, clunky kind of way. It's clearly a reference to the Bible in the fact that you're in the Garden of Eden, which is filled with puzzles.
And snakes.
And there's a... Well, no, there's a snake is the name of the AI on the computer is Serpent. That's all you refer to the thing as.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's kind of right.
And there's a big tower you're told not to climb, which is pretty much the tree in the Garden of Evil and the apple and all this kind of stuff. And so when you go up to the tower, God doesn't know you're in the tower. His name's like Eidolon or something like that. And so you have this whole thing with interaction with the computer, and you're finding out things about why you've come about through audio logs and this kind of, you know, standard crack, isn't it?
There's
written things, there's audio things, and then you need to fill in the blanks yourselves. But that part of that game is so engaging that I didn't really mind that the puzzling wasn't really that in-depth.
So it wasn't a difficult game?
It wasn't really, no. I cut through it pretty quick. I think
you've had good practice.
Beat it in about 12 hours. Admittedly, my mind is kind of fine-tuned towards these puzzle games now because I've been playing a lot of them over the last year. But it has pretty much, like, there's a lot of, like, light reflection in the puzzles. There's a lot of moving objects. So you need to time the puzzles in certain ways. There's a inevitable thing of, hey, you can introduce a mechanic that reverses time. So you record yourself doing something and have to run around and match up with the guy's recording.
That sounds
switches.
Quite complex.
It gets very complex, but it's just nothing new, unfortunately. Uh-huh. I mean, you could argue, hey, does it need to be if
Did
it's
you
got
enjoy
such a
it?
Compelling thing? But I enjoyed the narrative more than I enjoyed the game, I think. And it kind of comes back to my Witcher argument.
It's good that the narrative is strong enough to keep you playing a game for 12 hours.
Yes.
If the gameplay isn't
challenging
enough.
And I'm not poo-pooing on it. Like, some of those puzzles are really hard.
Okay. They are.
But I mean, you don't necessarily have to solve everything to beat the game anyway.
There was a point where perhaps it became a little bit tiresome other than the story, and then that's what kept you playing.
I think the story was what kept me there because I was more intrigued to see where that would go and how that would wrap up. And there's three different endings. I got two of them and I watched the third one and it was nothing really that special, so I didn't go for it.
Okay, but you found what you did see satisfying?
I saw the inverted commas bad ending, and then I saw what is considered the true ending, and then there's a third which involves some crazy shenanigans of like, hey, here's some reward for you doing all of this crazy shit that you didn't have to do. But I was satisfied with the game. They're actually working on a second one, so I'm curious to see how that will build upon the foundation of this, especially when we've had such amazing puzzle first-person experiences since then. Because I don't even think it matches up to Portal on its level of competence.
I wonder what they call the sequel. They call it the Talos Principle 2, they call it Chapter 2, they call it the Something Else Principle.
The Toulos Principle.
Oh.
Slip it right in there, just right at the start. Mm. No, I'm interested to see what that is like, because, I mean, I like Crow Team games, I like Serious Sam, and this is a good game. It's very well made. There wasn't any glitches or fuck-ups or anything with it. And it had a lot of depth beyond even the simple puzzle and narrative aspect. There was a lot going on, a lot of secrets to be found and stuff. So I really enjoyed it. But again, nothing really new and really groundbreaking.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I'm starting to look for more in my games.
Bought it on sale? Did you?
No, I bought a physical copy of it. It's been one that has been sat in my pile of shame for a couple of months.
Yeah, I got it for a reasonable price, from what I remember.
I think it's still on sale now. I think it's around the £10 mark. I think I paid like £20 for a box copy, though, and I just wanted a box. I wanted a box. But
pretty game? Is it? We haven't touched upon the visual side.
Looks nice. I mean,
Does it get samey that you're in the same environment all the way through, or does that change up as you?
It kind of plays around with itself. Like the first world is kind of just like a garden construct world, and everything looks like an overgrown metropolis kind of thing. The second world is more in kind of tune with Egyptian architecture and stuff.
Okay, because the visuals I saw as a selling point of the game. They look very nice on the video I saw.
Yeah, the third, it's not a bad looking game by any stretch of the imagination. It's just you'll be in those environments so long solving puzzles that it all kind of blurs into one, I think, eventually. But
fair enough.
It's still a good looking game, and it's still a good looking game. Yeah. Like, a good game in terms of its presentation all round.
Okay. You give this what?
I'd give this an 8 out of 10.
Oh.
If we're going to start throwing arbitrary numbers on
We've never done this before,
No, we
have. But since he says 7
if
for Blood
I, Well, if I give Dragon. That an 8 out of 10, I think Blood Dragon is a 6. Because I think there's a lot more going on in this. It still doesn't really like push things forward for me in terms of where this genre is going. But I honestly, like, I had... It was a lot of deep reflection on part of the philosophy and stuff that game tries to entail that I was actually really engaged thinking about that as well.
Say
as
it
the
does
puzzles.
That well is a compliment.
It does, yeah. Not boring either. It's one of those things you want to read. And yeah, there's some things in between of kind of proving that this world maybe isn't what you think it is by like emails from the people who seem to be working on whatever this thing is and... Gets your mind thinking in interesting ways. And sometimes, admittedly, I was skipping through those emails because they didn't contain anything of worth. But overall, very good, very enjoyable game.
Well, I've been playing a game which is probably the polar opposite of that. And that will be Rise. I touched on it last time, I think, we had one of these regular podcasts.
Yes.
And Rise is a pretty straightforward hack and slash sort of game.
Yes. Romans.
Yeah, it's got quite a reasonably deep combat system, similar to a lot of these third-person action adventures.
I have to ask you right up front, Tom, do you see room that if they were to do a Rise 2, that man could wear a beard under that helmet?
Probably.
Good.
Probably. The thing is, with Rise, though, I had to give back to the library yesterday.
Oh.
And I would have renewed it, but my card went missing, my library card.
Swine.
Which in terms is my card for citizen card, isn't it, basically? My health card for
That's
Denmark.
That's not good.
So, unfortunately, I can't play Rise again until I get another card and hope that someone else hasn't got it out of the library.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
But to be tell you the truth, I was getting a little bit tired of it because it is the same formula repeated. I think I was on the third mission, or fourth, I can't remember. It does kind of try and shake things up every so often by doing this cool thing where you get all your squad together and you put your shields up and then you have to move forward with your squad and hold down a button at the right time to stop the barrage of arrows.
Yeah.
Also taking charge of gun placements, well not gun, the harpoon, the cannons and catapults and such. But then the core gameplay is the fighting. And, you know, it's fun, you know, but it after a while, and a lot of the same enemies, it's sort of like, yeah, it does get a bit samey. Gorgeous game, samey gameplay, throws in the odd thing here and again to try and make it more interesting. But it's not a game which you feel, oh, I really need to see what's going to happen next, because it's like, well, I kind of know it's going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
So it's not an incentive to pick it up and play it.
Okay.
But it's simple, straightforward fun. And if you're in the mood for that, Rise is a very enjoyable game in that respect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the question is, will I now buy a copy or just wait and rent it? I'll rent it.
Yeah.
From the library again.
Probably.
Yeah.
See them if you saw it in a 3-for-2 sale.
If I saw it
cheap,
I know it's a fun title, and I'd probably pick it up. Yeah.
Okay.
But I wouldn't pay the earth for it. No.
Speaking of a game I didn't pay the earth for, but I'm not really that motivated to go back and play again. So I've, as I've mentioned on the podcast, I've been working through my pile of shame for the PS4, and I'm actually out of it now. I've got Skylanders Superchargers, and I want to play through the story mode with a few characters in Nitro Plus Blasters, and then I'm out.
You're not out of it yet. You're nearly out of it.
But I, for all intents and purposes, like Nitro Plus Blasters isn't really a game I consider beatable in the same way that everything else has been, I think. I could go through it with every character on story mode.
You could do. Well, I think just enough to go through the arcade mode once and go through the crappy visual novel.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I say crappy because I could not get into that storyline or have any interest in anything anyone was saying.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, I probably won't either, and that's probably why I'm just like, well, you know, it's not anything I can really tick off. Same goes for Overwatch. It's like, cool, I'm playing that game and I'm enjoying it. It's not something I can go like, cool, done with that.
These are the kind of games which I've been focusing on lately, these sort of games that don't have a start and an end point.
But Murdered Soul Suspect does. It's a 6-hour long experience, apparently. You are a private investigator turned cop who gets killed, and then it's up to you to solve your own murder. Feels like a PS2 game, Tom.
Very
like,
good, really.
It's not good.
Like, oh, no. You really didn't pay a lot for it, did you?
I paid a grand total of £4 for a special edition, brand new and sealed. So I was kind of like, well, I'll give it a go for that much money. Like, but I just...
But there are good PS2 games.
Yeah, there's good PS2 games. But I mean, like, this isn't even a good PS2 game.
Okay. So like, you're saying it's bad PS2 game?
I'm going to give it another go. Maybe I just wasn't in the right mood. But I played it for like half an hour and...
Yeah. Oh, half an hour's hardly any time.
Out of a 6-hour game, it introduced all of the core mechanics.
It's about as long as Rise, coincidentally, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you, Tom Parry, are a person who will not listen to cutscenes, will try and skip through as much...
Unless I am interested, it's rare.
But like...
Depends on the game.
Maybe half an hour isn't really what I played. Maybe it was more like an hour.
Hmm.
But it felt like 7 hours.
Oh,
because
no.
A lot of it was just dialogue and me walking around a very small area and actually not doing anything other than holding down buttons to make people say things of their internal monologue of, well, I got to get her to talk. And then I had to go over and jog her memory and so she would talk. And I was like, well, I'm not really actually doing anything here. This seems a bit shit. So I don't know, like it. I've played games, I think, to know when someone's going to grab me and shake me and go, yeah, this is something exciting. This just feels like a bit of a mess.
It's had very average reviews, if I just look it up online.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah.
5.5, 59% Metacritic, 5.51. IGN, is IGN like the benchmark for reviews, is it, or something?
Well, of course, pops Tom. Up. It's the only gaming website you can trust, wink. No, I think 5's even maybe a bit generous.
Well, you've only played a little bit of it, could get better.
I'm going to go back to it, but like I can already tell, and I'm not like, oh, I hate this game. It just doesn't do anything for me.
No.
Like... I'd much rather play through the visual novel of Nitro Plus Blasters because at least the gameplay in between that's going to be fun.
Well, did you know the game was also released on PS3 and 360?
Oh, that kind of makes sense then, maybe.
Yeah.
But it feels like a kickback from a PS2 engine
that
it was maybe being developed for a PS2, then they moved it to PS3, and then by the time it came out, it could also go on the PS4. It just doesn't feel very good. Controls feel a bit clanky. There's a bit where right in the opening section, you try and go back into your body. So, like, the ghost lies down and you've got to try and use the analog sticks to align your body parts back to, like, your spirit. And it just felt really tedious. I don't know. It's just not a good game from what my first impression is. I will play a bit more and I will tell you on this podcast whether I went back to it and enjoyed it or if I thought it was a piece of crap. But I'm kind of on that ballpark of, well, I only paid £4 for it. I've kind of got the £4's worth of curiosity out of it I need to have.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just a shame.
You can spend that £4 playing an arcade game, couldn't you?
I could have, yeah. But I mean, you know, as the last kind of weeks have proven, I could have spent that £4 buying a few Wii U games, maybe, or something, you know? Like, GameStop has some cheap first...
I'd say that's a stretch, a few for £4.
Hey, I bought Batman was 17 krona and yeah, so was something else. Okay. Like, two of the games I bought today for 3DS were 17 krona.
Mm.
You know, I could go around it, could go to a charity shop, pick up some PS2 games for 5 krona each, and then Bob's your uncle, 50p PS2 games, having a laugh.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah. What else have you been buying and playing?
Well, I picked up Star Fox Zero. And I've already spoken to you off microphone about my feelings about the game. And I've also mentioned it on my latest Parry's Pickles, which you can find over at the Blast Process
YouTube.com
channel. It's not on the website. It's on the YouTube.
BlastProcess.com/YouTube. I don't know if that link works.
Probably
don't try
not. YouTube, Blast Process. Maybe type that in. Well, anyway, so I'll briefly just mention it. I like it. I do like it, first of all, but it's not without its frustrations.
I like it when it's not getting in its own way.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great way of putting it. But it's got the feel of Star Fox, and for the most part, it's got the enjoyable Star Fox gameplay, and it also adds some new ideas, creating more variety in the gameplay.
Cool.
But unfortunately, the idea of switching between screen and gamepad doesn't work so well in practice.
No, it doesn't.
And really leaves you a little disorientated, I'd say, especially when you want to use the TV, but then the view on the TV is not helpful and you have to look at the gamepad and blah, 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 and it's confusing. And I'm not the first person to have said this.
No, of course not.
And it's so, I wonder not more people felt this way when the game was perhaps being tested. You know, were the Nintendo aware that this game really wasn't quite working?
I just feel that it feels incredibly forced into the game. It doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. Because Nintendo are a company who really make quality products. And I'm not saying this isn't a quality product. It's just not quite as good as you'd expect from Nintendo. You'd expect. But then it was a co-development with Platinum, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I don't know how it started as a full Nintendo project. Then Platinum were brought in and something went a bit wrong.
I don't know. I mean, like, you look at those initial like E3 reveals of this.
Mm.
And it was always, hey, we're going to look through the gamepad. I think maybe it was Nintendo getting in the way of Platinum rather than
perhaps,
the other way around.
Perhaps it was, because I know the guys at Platinum are big fans of the series, and they probably wanted nothing more than just a more straightforward Star Fox game.
No, and I mean, that bit in Bayonetta 2 is actually really good.
Yeah, and fans, I mean, this is really good in places, you know, it really is. And I think if you like Star Fox, you're going to get some enjoyment out of this. It's like playing one of the Sonic Adventure games, you know.
Yeah.
In a way, it's got its flaws, but it's still Sonic, and at times it's still really fun. So, yeah, give it a go, but I've seen it secondhand for £25 CX in the UK.
Yeah.
I'd say that was a good way to go if you're thinking about picking it up.
It's not really retaining its value, unfortunately, but there
no,
you go.
No, but it's not an absolute failure. So, you know, give it a chance if you like Star Fox.
Exactly.
I'd say.
Give it a go.
Yeah, for sure. Also played a bit of Pokemon Yellow.
Yes, we just did.
We just did now because I'd been playing it. Well, I went back to the UK a couple of weeks ago now, and that was my playing game.
I plugged
in my Pokemon Yellow into my Game Boy Advance SP and realised I was just before the Elite Four. The reason I couldn't get to the Elite Four was something to do with the fact that I hadn't learnt Strength. That was it.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get through Victory Road. So I had to do a little bit of research and find out about the Safari guy's gold teeth or whatever that had gone missing. And you have to collect them for him and then get the Strength TM.
HM.
Oh, sorry. HM.
Correction.
Well done. Well, thank you, Matthew.
I think you'll find it's a HM. Sorry.
Anyway, so I played through the Elite Four. Did it first go. Phew. It was a bit touch and go at times, but I did have a Mew in my team, so that did sort of help.
One Mew for you!
My original Mew from Pokemon Blue, which I got at a Nintendo event at the Trafford Centre in Manchester many moons ago, where I nearly was on TV when they were filming the queue to get Mew. The queue for Mew.
The queue for Mew.
In fact. And really enjoyed that. I mean, going back to Pokemon Yellow now, you know, you can see the obvious improvements that have been made over the years. But essentially, it's still the same thing and it's still very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, yes, very much enjoyed that and got myself a Mewtwo, you know, because, of course, you can go to the Unknown Dungeon after beating the Elite Four and get a Mewtwo.
Yeah.
And as Matt was mentioning, just traded my Graveler to his copy of Pokemon Yellow, and we traded it back, you know, because Graveler needs to be traded to evolve, of course.
Into Golem.
Into Golem, so that was cool. And in turn, we completed your Pokedex by trading Mew over briefly.
Yeah, once upon a time, I had a copy of Pokemon Red that had 151 Pokemon, but as long-term listeners of the podcast will know, my mate deleted that because my action replay corrupted his game. So I had a copy
of... So it's Revenge, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, Revenge, asshole. I got my Pokemon up to 150 on my copy of Yellow, and my copy of Mew was on my copy of Pokemon Red, so he died in that proceeding of getting erased, and
that must have been very difficult, especially as a child when something like Pokemon is very important.
I found out on the day I bought Pokemon Stadium.
Oh, yes.
I put the game in the game pack and he wouldn't let me play it, and I thought Pokemon Stadium...
What did you do? How do you react?
I cried. I admittedly, I was only 10.
I would have done the same.
I was absolutely fucking devastated. I had legitimate level 100 Pokemon that I had trained. Had not.
You were with your
rare
friend
candy.
At the time?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay, because that would have been...
Yeah, I...
Get out!
Yeah, it wouldn't have gone down well. Mm. Anyways.
You made up, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still good friends with him. He just had a kid yesterday. I'm going home to see him next week. But, he's more than made up for it in that time. We were like 10. Anyways, in all fairness, the same thing kind of happened to him. He lost his legitimate 151 Pokemon as well because of my action replay card. But, anyways.
There you go, drama.
Yeah, but as a result of that, I've only ever had 150 on my copy of Pokemon Yellow because we were the only two people I knew who had a copy of, who had a Mew, so I couldn't do the trade. But Tom had a legitimate Mew. Mm-hmm.
You were
so
quite excited when you found out.
I was. And I was like, oh my God, I can get 151 Pokemon on my copy of Pokemon Yellow.
It's still exciting.
Yes, it is. So I actually feel like I've accomplished something today, even though I haven't actually done anything. Yeah. So that's good.
I completed something on another Pokemon game. I finished the epilogue of Pokemon Ruby. Omega Ruby. And I tell you what, it was incredibly satisfying. You know, we're on a subject of talking about being a kid and having that immense passion for something and excitement. Yeah. I had that same feeling upon completing it. And it had a realization, actually, if, no matter how old you get, you know, you can still have that childlike sense of accomplishment for completing Pokemon, for example.
Of course.
I felt really good about it. I really did. It was a very epic ending, actually.
Yeah.
You end up in space.
Wow.
You ride that big, long, green dragon Pokemon.
Yeah.
Begins with R, I forget the name of, into space. You know, plow through a meteorite, then fight a legendary Pokemon who sounds something like Detoxys or something like that. And I was very lucky, actually, because I've got the guide for it, and it was telling me, save before this, you know, it's going to be a long battle. First of all, I caught the big, long, green dragon Pokemon in one go, basically, got him down to the right amount of health and threw an Ultra Ball. Yeah. And again, the big orange dude in the sky, in space. One move, one very perfectly perfect move that got him down to next to nothing, and one Ultra Ball.
Okay.
So it was a very pleasurable experience. It was without that sort of frustration you can sometimes have by having to redo things again and again and again. The Pokemon does return, that one you fight at the end.
Yeah.
If you do the Elite Four again. But I was just lucky enough to do it in one go.
Okay.
But still, there's plenty more game that opens up after that. So I must say, Pokemon Mega Ruby is an extremely good value for money. I'm on 50 hours now. I've just opened up the Battle Resort area of the game. I can now sail on the boat as well. So I've opened up a bit more gameplay there.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on. And I've my new task for myself of creating another Pokemon team, getting them all up to level 50, teaching them a good... And then I'll try them on the Elite Four. And you see, the satisfaction never ends.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I assume I'll get fed up with it at some point, but
but
at that point is...
But then they'll reset and moon, it'll be
fine. There you go. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. What else,
what else have
playing?
You been playing through?
I beat The Witcher, finally. I can't remember if I talked about that on the podcast.
Did you do that extra stuff?
I have not done the DLC yet. I'm giving
myself...
Because
that's the real end, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm giving myself a bit of a break between the DLC because I enjoyed that universe so much that I want to bask in that. To be honest with you, I also bought Witcher 1 and 2, like I said, off of Steam. So I kind of want to go back and play them and then play the DLC so I get the most out of that DLC I can. But those games are pretty long, so I don't know if I'll do that. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, would have definitely been my game of the year last year. Like, even with the talks of, oh, the gameplay versus the narrative, honestly, it is a amazing game. I think you're starting to see its effects even on things like Zelda, and I think even Ubisoft have apparently mentioned that they want their Assassin's Creed game to feel like The Witcher 3, and
really?
I think it's very accomplished what CD Projekt Red did on that game, and I on all the best to them in the future.
Yeah,
I'm actually quite
do next.
Looking forward to playing Cyberpunk 2020 or whatever it's called.
Okay. They're doing like a futuristic type Witcher game?
Well, apparently so. Just like set in a cyberpunk universe. So always curious about that kind of gameplay. So we'll see.
Yeah. Would it be like the Nomad Soul?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe like Deus Ex.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look out for that. I tried playing Destiny the other day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was playing it online with my good friend Gareth, and we did a mission. We were going to our next mission, and we were booted out because of an update.
Great.
Booted out because of an update.
Yay!
That doesn't seem right to me. You know, something's gone terribly wrong there. You don't boot out players who are sitting there enjoying your game, progressing in your game like that. You wait, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, the game obviously couldn't run without updating.
Yeah.
And that, angered me slightly.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the nature of that game, right? That's kind of the
should
nature that
of that happen,
type
though?
Of
should
game,
you be booted
though?
Out because it needs to update?
Well, it's because it's got a server update, I guess. It's more on the server having an update rather than you guys.
I wonder how much that happens.
I remember, from what I remember of playing it hardcore, like the server updates at least like once a week on a Tuesday or a Thursday. I kind of remember.
Yeah. Well, our night for playing it is Thursday nights. So
yeah.
Let's hope that's not the night that they regularly update the server. I had to have a little bit of a go in it the other day without Gareth. It was something that we said we wouldn't do,
yeah.
You know, but I am a few levels behind him. So I thought I'd do a patrol. Get some more bounties, get my level up a little bit. I still enjoy jumping in and out of the game. I find it satisfying. So that was a little bit of experience with Destiny this last week. Other than that, a bit of Battlefront this morning. I was sad to find that the Bespin pack that's been recently released for it was not free to play this weekend. I thought it was, because it was maybe the first week or maybe I'm a week late.
Yeah.
Sometimes they allow you to play it for free. I got that with the Outer Rim pack. But no, if I want to play the Bespin, I got to pay for it. And I don't want to pay the 40 quid season pass when I've already spent 40 quid in the game. I don't think this game is worth 80 quid.
Yeah.
It's just the amount of content that's been released through the season pack is really adding to the game in a huge way, in a way that I don't usually see with video games. And it did make the initial release of it seem kind of empty.
Yeah.
Not that there wasn't enough game modes in it. It's just the Star Wars factor and the variety of, you know, extra characters, extra levels and things. It's really expanding in a big way. But until that's some sort of reasonable price, it's like, rather than release a sequel, so I don't know, that they've just all this add-on content for it.
Well, I mean,
really good stuff.
It's kind of my qualm against the game in the first place. I didn't think it was enough there to begin with. And then they're like, season pass! Whereas this would have been part of the old game anyway, just kind of rubbed me up the wrong way. That's why I kind of had no qualms against selling it, because I had no desire to play it again.
Yeah, it is disappointing. I think it's a good game. There's some great, you know, Star Wars feeling in there. And
yeah,
I do enjoy just picking up every now and again and having a go, but I just feel bitter about that add-on content being so exclusive and expensive.
Yeah, making the game feel so sparse without it.
Yeah, really, really does. Oh yeah, I've only got this to play now, but my other friends are playing all these new game modes, all these new levels, all these new characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just a bit of a
hang up
I have for
Overwatch's
that.
Future content will be free.
That's nice.
Good.
That's
man.
A better business model.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes.
I tell you, something's great that I do recommend for a local multiplayer. It's Star War, the Narwhal combat game.
It's like you're speaking French. I have no idea what this is.
So you know that animal, the Narwhal?
Narwhal, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a one-on-one, or actually maybe more than, I think it's up to four players, game where you fight narwhals together in space.
Yeah.
And the idea is to pierce the other player's heart. Each narwhal,
yeah.
A heart.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to pierce it. But the actual control, it's one of those games where you have to master the weird controls.
Yes.
So you're flapping around trying to hit each other.
Okay.
And it's incredibly entertaining. I was playing it last night with friends, and it was it's a good fun party game.
Sounds all right.
And you can pick it up rather cheap now. So if you're looking for a fun party game, I very much recommend Starwall. It's
Starwall.
Got lots of different modes as well. Of course, there's the classic one-on-one. There's like there's one sort of like collect the heart, and then you don't have them at the start of this mode.
Yeah.
And then keep it for as long as possible. If someone punctures the heart, they basically take the heart from you, and
yeah.
It's the one who's had it for the longest amount at the end. There's other ones as well, but it's about four different modes. And you can customize your character as well in silly ways, like hats and clothes.
Okay,
and
yeah. Sounds about right.
I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other than that, to be honest, I haven't really done much other gaming over this last week, especially. I've been preparing for a course that is now done, so it means I have free time again, which is nice. But yeah, I bought a few 3DS games today, as I mentioned. I picked up Rhythm Theater Final Fantasy. Is that what it's called?
That game?
It's a rhythm game that uses Final Fantasy music as the background for its Dance Dance Revolution stylings.
There's nothing RPG about it, then?
No, I don't think so, from what I've seen, other than it is based on music from RPGs. Supposed to be quite good. I picked up Digital Devil Summoner 2 Soul Hacker because I didn't have that entry into the Shin Megami Tensei franchise on the 3DS, as well as One Piece Unlimited Red R.
Unlimited World?
It's called Unlimited World Red something, Red Hat. Fucking hell. I bought that one purely because it was 3 for 2 and it was. It seemed to be the more valuable of them, and I kind of thought, well, maybe I should get this one because A, it was the only other game that was the same price, so I wouldn't end up paying more or less for anything, and B, the only other game I really wanted there was Rhythm Thief, and as I previously mentioned, that was like £1.70, and I was like, well, all the rest of them are £7, I don't really want to get a £1.70 game for free, so I got this One Piece game as I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised like I was with the Naruto titles, but we'll see. I feel it's a good game. I'll have to see and find out if it actually is.
Is that everything you bought?
That was it. I picked up a copy of Bonk 3 for the Game Boy, GB Genjin Land 3, which is a selection of minigames and some other weird stuff on a Chinese cart, the official release in China, for like, I think it was a tenner.
Was that collectible?
It is Chinese Game Boy games, man.
That's what
my,
I thought.
My vice now. And that's literally it. That's all I've really purchased over the last couple of weeks. I did pick up a load of Game Boy Advance games in a flea market last week that
I didn't talk about
as well. Some things like Curious George and Franklin the Turtle and all this kind of stuff.
They
were 20 kroner each in a box. So I was like, why not? But yeah, I need to actually sit down and crack into some of those of you. Curious George in particular is pretty good. So I also got another boxed copy of Superman Returns because who doesn't want another copy of that wonderful game?
Fortress of Solitude.
Yes.
Well,
fucking awful.
I'm going to whiz through these, okay?
Go for it.
Again, you can check out my Paris Pickups video
on
YouTube.
Go, Thomas.
Some of these I didn't mention in my video because they've been bought on eBay and gone to the UK. Firstly, we've got Rambo 3 for the Master System.
Yes.
Then also Laser Ghost for the Master System, which I...
Oh, man, I've had my eye on that after that Game Chasers episode. That looks pretty fucking good.
I bought this before that Game Chasers episode, so it was a fun coincidence that they mentioned it in there. Basically, I only got it because I'd bought a gun and it came with it.
Yeah.
One of the Sega Master System light phasers. So I'm going to be playing those two when I go back to the UK in a couple of weeks' time. I also bought Dragon's Fury for the Mega Drive from a little game shop in Nottingham.
Yeah.
Dragon's Fury is a pinball game. It's a conversion of another pinball game that was originally on the TurboGrafx. I forget what it's called. There's a series of pinball games on the TurboGrafx.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Anyway. Mega Games 3 for the Mega Drive, which contains 3 games.
I had a copy of that you could add.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh well.
How much did you pay for it?
Not much.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not a lot. Dave Murray. That's
Dave
wrong.
Mira.
No, it's autocorrect. It to Murray.
Dave Murray. Sounds like a better game.
Dave
Murray's Extreme Car Boots.
Dave Mira BMX Remix. Didn't know there was a remix version of Dave Mira.
Remix.
Always been curious about it, seeing how well a extreme sports BMXing game handles compared to a skateboarding one, which I'm more familiar with. Casper for the PlayStation.
Yeah, played that game. It's all right.
Yeah? Well, I'm a big Casper fan growing up. Got a couple of Xbox 360 games when I was back in the UK for £2
each. £2
each? CX. I bought another RPG, believe it or not. I bought Lost Odyssey for £2.
Good fucking game.
Everybody's been saying this about it. It says it's got a good story, I've heard. A lot of emphasis was put on good storytelling and believable characters and
things. Yeah, but I mean, it's still a JRPG. Stick up with a pinch of salt.
Oh, okay. Because that's sometimes what disappoints me about JRPGs.
I think it's a good JRPG storyline, but okay. I still think it's a JRPG. So, you know, don't be expecting...
Enough. And it's very long, isn't it? And it's really...
4 discs. Yeah. Don't be expecting, like, I don't know, The Shining or, like, Jacob's Ladder or something that's really going to make you think.
You've played it through then to the end.
I got to the 4th disc and then my Xbox red ringed and I sent the hard drive back and it didn't come back with the save, so I never beat it.
Wow.
Yeah.
£2.
£2. It's a good game. Yeah. It's worth it.
And then Aliens versus Predator.
£2. That's supposedly a terrible game. Probably not worth it.
I was curious about it. £2. You get to play as alien, predator and human in that game.
Yes.
I thought, what's not to enjoy?
The bit where you play as an alien, from what I understand, now is really boring.
All right.
And the marine bits are just like any other shooter. Predator bits are supposed to be fun, though.
Over in Blue City here in Vejle, Denmark, I found a copy of Disney Infinity 2.0 for a fiver.
Yeah, they had a copy of 3.0 next to it. That's the one I was telling you I nearly bought the other day.
Uh-huh. You weren't tempted by the copy of Batman they got there for a tenner?
Which one?
Arkham Knight.
I don't really know if I care.
Yeah. I started it on Xbox One, so I was like, oh, I might as well, if I do get it, get the Xbox One version, because I've already installed it and played through part of it.
I don't know if I care.
No, honestly. I wasn't sure either about it because I've still not finished Arkham City and I felt like Arkham Knight was similar, apart from the Batmobile bit.
I did beat Arkham City. I at least did that.
Mm.
But
maybe that's all you need.
Exactly.
Game & Wario, I picked up.
I saw, £20.
Yeah.
Was that in Blue City?
Oh, you knew that.
It's in your pickups video.
GameStop.
GameStop, okay.
And yes, that was probably the cheapest I'd seen it.
Yeah, well, that's a good price. It seems to be going up. Yeah. Weirdly, so does Super Luigi U.
Yeah.
It's like 50, 60 copy. Quid now is a box copy.
I noticed our good friend Austin has, when he bought his Wii U, he got it bundled with...
New Super Mario Brothers.
New Super Mario Brothers. Yeah. That version's probably collectible.
It's not as expensive, though. I've been watching a few copies on eBay that are about the 20, 30 quid mark, and I'm tempted to buy one of those and then keep my copy of Luigi sealed.
Oh, it's still sealed?
I never played it. I wanted to, but I wasn't really that bowled over by Super Mario U. I mean, I paid a tenner for my copy of Luigi U. Like, I paid nothing for it. It was in a Sainsbury's when I was back home, so...
Wow, okay.
A lot of my Wii U games are still sealed, actually. It's kind of worrying.
I learnt about a game on Metal Jesus Rock's latest PSP collection video.
I saw over 200 games.
Which I was curious about. Downstream Panic, it's called.
Okay.
It's a Lemmings-like game where you help fish.
Okay,
get
cool.
to the goal.
Sounds like something you'd be into. Yeah. You like fish? You like lemmings? What's not to like?
I love fish. So very much looking forward to giving that a go. Another portable title as well, a Pokemon Typing Adventure.
Yeah.
I purchased.
I nearly bought it in Rome the other day.
I saw it on the Nintendo store online for £15.
I wanted the keyboard.
And you get the keyboard. It's very nice. I mentioned the eShop sale. Super Metroid I got. Zelda Minish Cap, NES Remix 2, Earthbound was a couple of quid. I thought I should probably
good
get that.
Game.
Super Mario World. I do have that on cartridge, but I had the urge to play it, so I was actually playing that the other day. Happy to have that. These are £3, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
£2-3. And for the 3DS, I got Zelda Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons for about £5 for both of them, I think, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pull Box, Box Boy, Dylan's Rolling Western, and the Pokédex 3D Pro.
Oh, really?
Hmm. There you go.
Interesting.
Which isn't a game.
No, it isn't.
But if you want to look at Pokemon 3D, then,
that's the best. Then you're sorted, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it.
I'm trying to think if I've picked up anything else. Oh, I bought a Game King. Oh, I haven't even shown you this. You haven't been here.
Game King. Have you looked? No, you have shown me that.
I did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's like a pop station.
It is, yeah. Terrible, terrible.
Well, you've been playing
One-bit games, yeah. I was playing a game on there called... Mosa, I think it's called. It's a Mega Man ripoff, and it has Mega Man music underneath it.
Speaking of Mega Man, have you got your copy of Mighty Number 9?
No.
No? You wanted the physical copy, was it? Or
I paid 80 quid to get a physical copy in a Famicom-style box. Never. There was a survey that should have been sent out like 2 or 3 weeks ago asking me where I wanted my key to go, like for what platform. And I said, if you don't reply to the survey, you'll get a Steam key. I sent them numerous messages going, hey, I haven't received the survey. Can I get a survey? And they kept sending out messages going like, oh, people who haven't received a survey, we've heard you. We're just taking our time to reply. Da, 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 da. And that was like 3 weeks ago. And I've sent them numerous messages. I've given up on that game. Fuck it. I don't care.
But that was 80 quid.
That was 80 quid, Tom. It's fucking train wreck. Anything with Kaiji Inafune's name on it from now on, I'm completely ignoring. The only reason I'm interested in Rico still is the fact that it was also touched upon by Retro, the people who made Metroid Prime. So, no fucks given.
So you're not bothered about playing the game, even?
If I get my free Steam key, I will. But I hear it's a bit of a shit game anyway, so I'm not really that bothered.
No, it's not quite the game people expected it to
be. Well, yeah, people were expected it to be a Mega Man game, and then it was just something completely different, so... I don't know. I'm fucked off about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh, I can sense that. Sorry to bring it up. It's I was okay. Just curious if you got your copy.
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
No. Okay, so something from a few weeks back now.
Yes.
Is we mentioned we were going to give away a game.
Yes.
Right? And no one replied.
Okay.
People liked, I think even retweeted the tweet in various places. And thank you so much for doing that. We got it out there, but sadly, I don't think I can't find any evidence that anyone actually
replied to it.
Okay. Not on our initial post on Tom and Matt Attack, anyway. We've got one like and one retweet on that, or something like that.
Okay, great. I'm probably the person who retweeted it.
So what I'm going to say right now is we're going to just say over this podcast what the codes are.
Okay, cool. Do that.
All right? So if you want a copy of Hyper Bounce Blast.
Yes.
Then all you have to do is input this simple code into your Steam machine.
Good job. No, this is a Steam redeem code, so go into your Steam account and then redeem this code for a chance to get it.
DALPD9TGFGQHY5. Now, if the I doesn't work, try a 1. But I think it's an I. And we have another code too. Might as well give it away now and have done with it.
Yeah.
N2IBKBPATMJBJJ6. Again, I could be 1. I'm not sure. Also, every 5 is separated from a hyphen before the next 5. I don't know if Steam automatically puts that in or you need to do that yourself.
It should automatically put it in. It's fine.
I hope you got that. Okay, if not, rewind, re-listen. You can do that. It's a podcast.
Whee!
And thank you very much for listening and
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you are lucky enough to get it, then please tweet us and go, yay, cool, I got it.
Why
you were too lazy to enter the contest in the first place, admittedly.
What was the answer to the question?
Ox Farmer, I think, is the name of that podcast. But enjoy the game anyways.
And as Matt says, do let us know if you got that.
Cool.
We'd like to hear from you.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of the podcast. I would say thank you if you are listening, and please share this podcast around, because with stuff like that you kind of get the feeling and no one gives a shit. So
we do know we have some very loyal fans.
Yes,
and thank you for listening regularly, and we're very appreciative of that, and
we are indeed
still enjoying it, and we're still delivering what you expect from us.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we kind of set expectations low from the start, so hopefully we're not under delivering.
We enjoy doing it.
We do, exactly.
So we're happy to continue.
Yes. But that Twitter address again, if you want to tweet at us and go, I found the code, I got a golden ticket, it wouldn't be a podcast without me singing, is at TMAcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. You can also listen to this podcast in a variety of places, such as on Stitcher, on iTunes, where you can give us a cheeky rate and subscribe while you're at it. Find it on blastprocess.com as well as TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast, where we will also reply if you leave us a little message in the comments. We can get back to you there as well.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And yes, this is the last podcast for a while.
Yes.
Should we mention this now?
We probably should.
We should, because Matthew is on holiday now.
I am, yes.
I'm going on holiday in 2 weeks. We doubt we'll get another podcast up probably during the next month. So it might.
I assume there will be no podcast in July.
It might be, yeah.
That's the safest bet.
Yeah.
I will try and do what I did the first 2 years where this happened, in that I will go out into the big bad world and try and interview some people perhaps and put those podcasts up instead. But I can't promise anything because I have nothing planned and my summer will probably be very sporadic, so I don't even know if I'll be able to fit them in anyways.
What I'll do from my side is I'll do some more Paris Pickups videos.
Yes.
We've got all these games aboard on eBay piling up in the UK. I can talk about them on Paris Pickups.
Give it a play. I will be doing obviously biographic videos as well, so if you aren't already familiar with that, I have a YouTube channel called Biographic where I look at Game Boy videos every week, and they will be going back to weekly videos now because I don't have a management course to worry about, so I can actually do that, so that'll be nice.
But we will be back in August with a brand new Tom Matt Attack.
We will, yeah.
Thank you for sticking with us, and please hang on and enjoy your summer.
Just
I think.
Keep
yes.
me hanging.
There's 131
on.
Podcasts there on the internet for you to listen to for the time being, if you haven't already, of course.
If you have, well, listen to them again. Why not? Find your favourite. Get up to episode X83 Ox Farmer, and then go. Yeah, this is the same level of quality. You're in, you're out. Okay, cool. Well, have a wonderful summer, everybody. Yes. Like I said, I'll try and sneak a few episodes out if I can, but if not, we'll see you in August.
See you then.
Game on.
Game on.